Somebody asked me, where's Kim today? Kim? Kim who? I said. You know that gal with a purple cap, she's the one who organizes stuff. Oh, you mean Kimberly, I said. Don't call her Kim. That's not her name. She doesn't like it. Don't call me Dave. You see the point where, yeah. Names matter. So don't shorten them unless you have permission. There's only two people in the world that can call me Dad. There's only one person in the world that can call me Sweetheart. Names matter, don't they? I made a big mistake. I started programming my smartphone a long time ago. And this has happened to you too, but when you put in the context, you have a choice. You either do it by last name or by first name. So I should have thought of it, but I started in with first names. So I have Alan and Alice and Elma. I have Ben and Bill and Bruce. And then I have Carla. So more than once, I've scrolled through and found Carla, and I hit the little green phone-shaped thingy. Hey, babe. What's for dinner tonight? Only to realize that it was some other Carla. Names matter. Names matter because they suggest something about the context of the relationship that you have, right? Something about the level of intimacy, the kind of identity and attachment, the endearment that is shared between persons. It's fascinating. Have you ever been around here on a Tuesday morning at about 11:30 a.m.? Well, buckle your seatbelts, because there's about 100 four-year-olds trying to find their mother. Right? Because it is the conclusion of classes and parents are arriving, and there is this delightful din, this sort of heavenly chaos that happens as all these squirts are zooming all about the place. But it's quite fascinating because you'll watch and one of them will yell, "Mom!" How many heads turn around? It's interesting. You'd think a bunch of them would, but only one head turns. How does that happen? How does that work? Somehow this voice recognition is real. Anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. I'll probably get in trouble for this, but there was two guys in a bar. One of them says to the other, "You know, I'm really worried. My wife seems to be talking to herself a lot." The other guy says, "Oh, that's nothing. My wife talks to herself a lot too, and she doesn't even know it. She probably thinks I'm listening," or, you know, something. See, I shouldn't have told that one. I shouldn't have told that one. Do you remember Mark Twain? "It's quite impossible for a worthwhile thought to enter your mind through an open mouth." The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. "I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and will go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." I keep a prayer journal, and that for me has been my practice, my habit, my way of having conversations with God. I'll read my Bible and I close my eyes and I try to be aware of my breathing. Then I have some more coffee and I try it again. But it has been for me important and part of my sort of daily routine. Lately, it seems like I have lots of words. I mean, I write and I write and I write, and the pages are full of David speak. But I feel like I'm missing sometimes another's words. My pages are full of David prayers. But they're kind of skinny when it comes to the thoughts and ideas of another. The Spirit's stirring, God's self-disclosure, Jesus' words to me. Boy, I know they're in here somewhere. I know they are. Seems a little dry. It seems a little empty. It feels a little bit like longing or waiting, trying to hear something that's just out of range. I can't quite make it out. Jesus, is that you? He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them in and out. They will not follow a stranger. They will run because they do not know the voice of a stranger. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So I write in the margin of my Bible, I want life. Please, please. Do you remember that old story of the calling of Samuel in the old Hebrew text? He's there in the temple. He's young. He's probably 13 years old. And he hears something, not sure what it is. Finally, Eli realizes what's going on, that this young boy is being called by God. And so Eli says to Samuel, when you hear that sound, when you hear that voice, practice with me, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel says, speak, Lord, for your servant. Okay, got it. Beck, should we try that? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I've joked before, but sometimes we offer that up. Listen, Lord, for your servant is speaking. No, it's not that. It's not that. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And what Samuel heard changed everything. It changed his life. It changed the community. It even changed the world. Earlier on in John's gospel, Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. Will live. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening to me. Whisper. Sing. Call. Heck, I don't care. Just scream at me. I want to hear you again. I just want to live. Sometimes we have name tag Sundays, and you all think that that's because we're trying to encourage community, you know, that will help people talk to each other more and be less embarrassed. Oh, good, that's Bill. I've been wondering what his name is, and now I can say that to him. But there's another reason for those name tags. They're for me. they're for me because there's a couple of seconds every Sunday when I get to say something to you, to only you. A couple of seconds when I offer up words that are for me a great privilege of my office. And if you have a name tag, it's even sweeter. Because what do I get to say to you? The body of Christ given for you, Joanne. The body of Christ given for you, Justin. Or whatever your name happens to be. Now the trouble is, of course, that I don't know them all. Or I forget them. Or I get there and I look into your eyes and I have this kind of panicky moment and I don't remember it. And then you walk away and you're halfway back up the aisle and I'm working on Marilyn and I'm thinking, oh, it was Tom! Because names matter. Not because there's any magic in me saying them. We know better than that. Remember the scene in Cheers? There's a big guy who comes in. Right, he walks in and they all turn around and what do they say? Lord. Maybe the shepherd saying, Sean, Jim, Ed. I love it when he says David. I love it. This shepherd who longs for our attention, this one who calls us to life, to purpose, and to promise, this one who will soon call Quentin's name, calling and claiming and making his life real and good. Jesus doesn't quit calling our names until we're raised from the dead. The body of Christ, the breath of Christ, the love of Christ, the life of Christ. Can you hear your name?